Episode 66, Paul Gedeke on Historic Empathy.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Welcome to our show, everyone. Today we have a special guest with us. We'd like to introduce you to Paul Gedeke, husband to Imelda and father of five sons. He taught professionally starting in 1983. His experience entails teaching in government schools, Christian schools, their home school, gymnastics schools, and as a professional ski instructor. He retired from formal teaching in 2007. Paul graduated with an MA, magna cum laude, with majors in pastoral ministries, church doctrine and history, and missiology from Regent University. Most recently, he graduated with a Juris Doctorate from Oak Brook College of Law and Government Policy. Welcome to our show, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you have a background in the principal approach. Would you like to share with us about how you learned of it and your education in it?
Sure. That started, 1984, when my wife, we were newly married, and we moved out to Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I was starting to attend, at the time it was called CBN University. And my wife got a job at Rock Church Academy, which is part of Rock Church there in Virginia Beach with John and Ann Jimenez, the pastors there. And our assistant principal was a guy named Max Lyons. You may know Max. And Max and Marjorie became good friends of ours. And Joan Mason was the principal at the time. And they had these tapes Max got a hold of this guy from Plymouth, Massachusetts, named Dr. Paul Jaley, who had done a seminar. And so he had gotten the videotapes on the seminar. And I grabbed those and took a look at them. And just fell in love with what he was teaching. And he came down, Paul did, and Max and I and our wives attended a seminar in a local church there. And Paul gave a seminar in the principal approach, worldview, biblical worldview approach. And it was just like light bulbs going off in my brain. I was like, yes, this is, you know, so good, what I want. And then we met another man, Robert Sherman, who taught us about providential history course. That was back in 86. And it reminded me that in my Bible college day, when I was taken, one of my professors introduced us to providential history with Marshall Foster's book, his workbook, Providential History, the Mayflower Institute. Am I saying that right? I think that's right.
Let's see, Marshall Foster's book, are you talking about The American Covenant?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
American Covenant. And so he had taken us through that. And then when we did a course with Robert Sherman, he brought us through the entirety of the two red books and everything. And we read through all of that and was like, okay, I get this. And I love history. Of course, I got my master's in history and church history in specifics, but so it was all really good. And then we felt with Dr. Paul Jaley came down, he had influenced some of the teachers there at Regent University. One is Jim Komernicki. I don't think he's since passed away, I believe, but he was a professor in the education department. So we went to his house after the seminar, and Paul Jaley was talking about what he was doing in missions and going around the world. And my heart was just burning inside me, because missions was where I wanted, what I wanted to be and do. I wanted to be a missionary. And, so it was, that just linked Paul and I together. And We felt God was leading us to go up to Plymouth to join the ministry there, which we did in 1988, and the summer of 1988. And we were there till September of 2007. We worked in the church and the school and developed curriculums for both high school and junior high, high school, and first and second year college courses for education, and did many, many missions all around the world in helping churches to develop a biblical worldview and in developing Christian education, discipleship schools in nations around the world.
Have you been able to keep track of any of those places you've been?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of that, you know, Roberto Rinaldi, we helped him, and back in the early 2000s, I went down there many times to teach and to be a part of their seminars and conferences that they had for their teachers. Of course, now their growth is phenomenal. So the Rinaldis are good friends, and I failed to mention I worked at Stonebridge for a semester. I think one of their PE teachers was, had left, or I forget exactly what it was, but, somebody told me, or I think it was Max that told them about me. And so, that's where I met Carol Adams and Elizabeth Humans, and worked with them for that semester before we left for Plymouth.
And you had mentioned that you and Paul Jaley had put together some college courses.
Yeah, they were mainly honors level, senior level, and high school courses. And then we taught those for Whitfield College out of Florida, which I'm not sure if that's still available or not. Still running. But yeah, it was Whitfield College.
So is there any possible way that anyone who's interested in any of those courses for their high schoolers to be able to access them? Or,
yeah, we have some of those. Paul has them on his side at the plymrock.org, Plymouth Rock Foundation, which I was a board member for many years. Not now, but you can go to their site there, and he has some of his courses up there. Writing in the process of rewriting my courses right now and trying to make those I've taught con law, so I'm trying to make my constitutional law course at a more of a collegiate level and law school level. So I'm doing all of my work on that right now. Then I'm going to be doing economics and foreign policy and things like that, and public policy courses, where most of my strength is.
So will those be offered online, or are you doing it in like a curriculum textbook format?
Most likely it's going to be an online course. To publish something now is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the avenues that I know of right now. So I just met with somebody yesterday about developing a website for doing that. So he says that it would be a piece of cake for us to do that. And I said, okay, let's get together. So I think coffee time is going to be soon, where I can get set up. And once I get everything done, which I'd like to do it with, including with videos and things like that, so that any student can look at the video, do the readings, the required readings and the required writings and that type of thing, and get a high school credit for it, or even a college credit for it.
So it'll be self-paced?
I think that's probably the way to go.
Okay. Do you think that you'll anticipate mentoring sessions over Zoom or something for students, or?
You know, I've done that in the past, not necessarily on Zoom, but I've done it in the past with local groups. I had a business called Key Tutoring Services, and I did a lot of tutoring for homeschoolers and high schools, doing the courses that I taught at the New Testament Christian School in Plymouth. So I taught Rhode Island, and I've taught in Massachusetts, of course. So, yeah. That's the possible plan there.
Excellent. I'm excited about that, especially because, on our homeschool journey, there hasn't been a whole lot of mentoring or, I don't know, courses that are already put together to help make that load lighter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we still have six children that we're homeschooling, so maybe one of them will go in that direction and we can have them take your courses.
Yeah, it would fulfill their government course, their civics course. And then that obviously is a required course, civics and American government. Economics is another one that I'm looking at doing. And then I have church history one, Bible theology, which includes a course on exegesis and hermeneutics, biblical study methods, a lot of those. So, yeah.
So now you also ended up homeschooling with the principal approach, didn't you? Do you want to share about that experience?
Yeah, we kind of did a semi homeschool in the middle school years, elementary school. My wife and I homeschooled our boys. My wife's a trained teacher. She graduated with an education degree. And when we were at Paul Jaily's church and school, we joined the homeschool association with the school there and taught our boys through 7th grade, and then our special needs ones was at home, always at home. But our other boys did some of the classes at school and some classes at home, and then later on came full time to the New Testament Christian school in high school time. But yeah, we did that, and they went all the way through high school. And when we moved to California, some of the classes I just didn't know how to teach. So we joined a charter school here, charter homeschool. And so they eventually graduated from that charter homeschool in 2016, I think that was. Yeah, so good 20 some odd years of teaching.
And then when in your experience with teaching and then also in the school that Paul Jaily runs, did you ever hear of historical empathy? Because that's a new term to me. I've just learned of it in the past year, I think, when there's a homeschool mom who has a social media platform that's gaining a lot of ground pretty
Yes,
rapidly. And
Polly.
she used, and she used that term. And when I've looked it up online, it sounds like it's more social emotional learning. But then when we started to dialogue about it, you and I, you were thinking that it wasn't. Is that right? What
Well,
do you understand about the idea of historical empathy?
I'm not going to necessarily try to speak for Holly, but as I understand it, and as a trained historian, you have a vertical and you have a horizontal aspect when you study history. Okay. And historical empathy refers basically to the ability to understand and relate to the thoughts, to the feelings, the experiences of people from the past. All right. In the context, taking all of that in the context of the historical events, the culture that they lived in, the society that they lived in, you have to basically put yourself in their shoes of these people who lived in a very different time, what circumstances they face, the challenges that they face, the perspectives that they had, which can be very different from our own, right? So empathy means basically that you're feeling the same feelings. You're trying to understand why they thought the way they did. If I put it in a biblical context, a biblical study or a Bible study context, it's like the term exegesis. That when you study the Bible, the first thing you got to do is you got to understand not only the literary context, the historical context, the cultural context, the actual context of the words written on the page itself in the Hebrew or the Greek. You got to understand who was this written to. You know, if you're studying Paul's letters, who did Paul write to? Who were the Colossians? Who were the Ephesians? Who were these people? What kind of culture did they have? What challenges did they have in that time period? And so that's more of the horizontal aspect of learning the context of the history itself. And that gains an appreciation for who this person, who these people were, if you will, in terms of where they were on the historical timeline and what events did they experience and in their time period. So it's really taking into account the social, cultural, political context of their time periods. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so could it ever go in a wrong direction, or is there something that guides it differently when you're looking at the providential view of history than it would otherwise?
Yes. So that's the vertical aspect, is the providential history. And that's where you take the word of God and an understanding of the purpose of God, not only for history, but where is history going? What historical events in the course of human history, how is God guiding that, or how is God influencing that history through his providential hand, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of his word? So that you gain an understanding of how are these historical events and the culture of these people, how does that fit into God's overall purpose and plan? So you got to have both together. If cultural empathy is defined as only the horizontal aspect, then you lose the timeline, if you will. Where is history going? You may even lose the ethical component of history, to where some even say that all cultural things are equal ethically. There's nothing that's beyond or objective to it. So it becomes more of a subjective study. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then you really lose the understanding of how do I learn from history? Because if all things are equal, then really there's nothing for me to learn from these people in the past, unless it maybe literally or directly is exactly the same as my particular experience. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have both the vertical as well as the horizontal. And understanding the horizontal, as I mentioned, if you relate it to a Bible study, is exegesis. And then the vertical or the providential would be the hermeneutics. Okay, understanding that, how does that apply to today, to me, in my position on the timeline, in God's overall providential history timeline, you know? Where are we in that timeline, in God's timeline? So we want both, and that's kind of where I stand on that. So I don't know where Holly is or anything like that. I'm not going to make a judgment on that, but you really need both in order to do good history. When I taught history and church history, I like to do it more in a biographical sense rather than just, okay, in this year in church history, you know, you had so-and-so and they did such and such, and, you know, you had this creed and that creed, and, you know, it kind of gets boring. But if you go down, okay, so you had Athanasius, who was the bishop of Egypt, and here's what he wrote, and this is what he was facing in Egypt at the time against Arian forces and the bishop Arius, and here's how they debated one another. And, you know, you get more a personal understanding of what these two men were really battling each other over, and how it ended up, their discussions with each other ended up with the Nicene Creed. So you don't get into this, well, the Nicene Creed in 325, you know, that's when it happened, and here's what they wrote, and it's okay, that's nice. Next.
Yeah.
You know, you get into the more of the biographical, it makes it go a little bit slower, but then you understand if you really delve deep into what they really believed in, what was their worldview, how did that worldview and the principles that they were living by affect world history? What if we lived by that principle? How would that affect our lives? So then it gets a real understanding of, yeah, we face some of the similar situations or similar beliefs. Well, yeah, we can see that in history, what that person did when they applied that same principle, whether it was in the balance of God's principle or whether it was to the extremes that the enemy pushes people towards, how did that affect their life? And then how did that affect the culture around them in concentric circles all the way out to the nation and the nations of the world?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I really appreciate that you are taking the concept of the cross, the vertical and horizontal relationship, the vertical being sure. The relationship with God and the horizontal with fellow man, and looking at it as the exegesis on the horizontal line versus eisegesis, because
not eisegesis, hermeneutics.
Oh, sorry. Hermeneutics. Yes. Thank you.
Looking eisegesis at it through, is the wrong application.
Right. But looking at it through hermeneutics versus eisegesis, because I think that's where what we're seeing today is the eisegesis, where it's all feeling tone, feeling based, and we're going to make our decisions on how to respond to negative situations and culture based on those feelings and act out, where you end up dealing with anarchy, don't you?
Or tyranny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and or tyranny, if that's the focus. So right. I appreciate that take on it.
Eisegesis in a historical study of history would be more like me imposing my cultural values, my understandings of principles on past cultures and making judgments on them.
Mm-hmm.
And not understanding. So that's why people today are tearing down statues and history and not teaching mm-hmm. about Columbus because he was a racist. And how can you even have him in a course and yada, 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 you know, so it just eliminates anybody from learning from history.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they're sorely lacking in having God's principles as the premise and mm-hmm. also as the guide for understanding history. And then, like you're saying, comparing and contrasting, are they honoring or dishonoring God's principles? And what can we learn from that in history?
Exactly. I mean, you look at biblical history. I mean, look at the life of David. He was no saint,
mm-hmm.
even though he had a heart after God, right?
Right.
I mean, he was a murderer, an adulterer. His kids turned out really bad.
mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, we learn from him, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And an eisegetical approach to history where it just, you can't learn from history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for this episode with Paul Gedeke, but be sure to tune in next time when we pick up the conversation with him about historical empathy.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.